Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. This life study is the basis of our program today, which includes short portions of the spoken messages given by Witness Lee. Now, let's join today's life study.
We have today a very marvelous and even a special life study before us. We're very happy that Ron Kangas could join us for it. Ron, it's nice to see you again.
I'm especially happy to be here for this one on Joseph's release from prison.
This is a wonderful story, of course, with a lot of spiritual significance for us. But for the benefit, Ron, of those that are not that familiar with this story, would you give us a quick overview?
Concerning Joseph, we should realize he is a full and complete type of Christ. Joseph's life is characterized by 2 matters, dreams and suffering. He saw dreams and he spoke about them. This led to suffering. Eventually, his suffering brought him to prison, where he remained for quite a period of time. However, he remained faithful to his dreams. He was used by God to interpret the dreams of others, and eventually, by speaking forth the interpretation of the dreams, he was released from prison. Recall that he was sold by his brothers, eventually was wrongly accused, and cast into prison. But in prison, the Lord was with him. We know from verses in the Psalms, such as 105, that the word of the Lord tried him until the time of fulfillment came about. 2 other prisoners, a cupbearer and a baker, had dreams. Joseph interpreted them. His speaking forth the interpretation eventually became part of his own release, particularly in the case of the cupbearer. Joseph interpreted the cupbearer's dream and asked him to please remember him. Of course, as we know, the cupbearer forgot him until Pharaoh had dreams which no one could interpret. Then the cupbearer remembered Joseph. Joseph was brought out of prison. Joseph interpreted Pharaoh's dreams, and as a result, he was not only released from prison, but was exalted to the throne to distribute the food supply to all the hungry souls. So we need to keep in mind that Joseph first had the dreams. Then, in order to be brought into the fulfillment of the dreams, he first had to suffer. But even in his suffering, he needed to speak forth, and by his speaking, he was released and enthroned.
Thank you, Ron. As we have seen many times with these stories that may have been familiar to us from our childhood, unveiled in the light that we have today, they take on an entirely different significance and insight. I'm very anxious to join Witness Lee for today's life study.
When I was reading chapter 40, I had a thought to say something for Joseph, to the Lord. Lord, why you kept Joseph so long a time in the prison? When he interpreted the dreams for the 2 companions. That was when he was about 28 years of age. He was there at least 10 years. Yet their dreams were fulfilled. His not. I would say, Lord, this is altogether too much. You have tested Joseph over 10 years. Why wouldn't you release him right away at the same time with the 2 others? When he interpreted the good dream for the cupbearer, he did ask him, remember me with you. And the Bible says, after he got out of prison, he forgot Joseph. A human being, easy to forget. You are God, you can never forget. Why you keep Joseph there still 2 years? Then, one day, I got the light. why Joseph needs to be 30 years of age. In the Bible, the full priest should be 30 years of age. Some ones were 25, not full priests, just apprentices. The number two, the Lord Jesus began to minister when he was 30. Then when I saw this, I said, Lord, you are right. Now I have the sight to see that you have been absolutely right to keep Joseph in the prison for another 2 years. Without these 2 years, Joseph would be still underage. I tell you, no one can be thrown without being tried, tested. We all like to be enthroned. But God would say, wait a minute.
Well, Ron, there was a charming quality, I would say, to Witness Lee's utterance in this section. But it really is quite a sobering proposition that before we can be qualified to be enthroned as Joseph was, we first need to finish our full course in our own dungeon. What does this apply to in our experience?
Paul says in 2 Timothy that if we suffer with him, we will reign with him. There is absolutely no way around this. If we think that we can live an easy life without paying any price and then end up being mature enough to reign as co-kings with Christ, we are simply mistaken. Joseph's experience is a vivid picture of dreams and their fulfillment through suffering. What does this mean? Well, in part it means that in order to have the fulfillment of his dreams, Joseph had to become in his own person the kind of person who could match what he saw in his dreams. To have the dream of reigning is one thing. To become a person who was qualified to reign, that is something else. Eventually, at the end of his life, Joseph could realize that all of the events of his life were under God's sovereign hand. Joseph's being imprisoned, in particular, was part of the process of maturing him, of bringing him to the age of 30, the minimum age for full functioning as a priest, and the age at which Christ began to minister. The point succinctly is this. After we see the vision, that is, the divine revelation in the Scriptures, we need to realize from Joseph's experience that we need to be transformed into a person that can be used by God to fulfill this vision. What this means is that in our circumstances, the Lord will put us into a dungeon to go through a time of trial and testing for a lot longer than we expect and for a lot longer than we think we can endure. But the time is in the Lord's hands. He knows that only through trial and testing can we be matured in life and therefore be qualified to reign in life as the fulfillment of the vision. So we need the vision, we need the maturity in life through trial and testing, and we need a dungeon. It is a divine fact in the spiritual life that every genuine believer, sooner or later, will spend time in a dungeon in order to be matured and qualified to reign in life. This, at least in part, is the significance of Joseph's experience recorded in this portion of Genesis.
Thank you, Ron. Let's go back to Witness Lee for more of our life study.
Now I come to my burden this morning. Joseph got released through his speaking by faith.
Amen.
When he interpreted the two dreams of the two others, he was not released. His interpretation was he can speak by faith. If I were he, while I'm interpreting for the others, I was afraid to be checked off. They may check with me, have you ever had a dream? And then I have to answer, yes, I had one. Was that fulfilled? No. It was through the speaking of Joseph to the cupbearer that Joseph was released from prison. I say again, if I were he interpreting the dream for Pharaoh, I would be very cautious. My, suppose Pharaoh checked with me, Joseph, please tell me, have you ever had a dream? If I say, yes, I had, he said, has that been fulfilled? When did you get that? 13 years ago? When I was 17? No, I'm 30. Was that fulfilled? Or has that been fulfilled? No. Your dream has never been fulfilled. How could my dream be fulfilled? Get away. But he had the bonus. Amen. And I tell you, it was through his speaking that he got to the throne. Amen. Learn to speak yourself out of your prison.
Amen.
Release and authority. Amen. All come to you through what? Speaking. The more you speak, the more release you have.
Amen.
The more you speak, the more authority you will receive.
Amen.
Then, through his speaking, he became a food supplier. Food. You say, oh, you are so poor. Why you are so poor? Just because you keep yourself so silent. On the campus, among your cousins, in your neighborhood, even in the meeting, why you keep yourself so silent? Why don't you speak? You say, oh, I don't have the experience. I have no assurance to say this. So I tell you, the more you have no assurance to say this, the more you are not in it.
Amen.
Try to say something against your feeling.
Amen.
Try to say something against what you feel, but according to your vision.
Amen.
Speak according not to your experience, but to the vision.
Amen.
Let me tell you, a real Christian, a victorious and overcoming Christian, is all the time a dreamer. You must have your dream, and you must interpret dreams for others. Let's all talk dreams day by day.
Amen.
We don't speak according to our feeling. We don't behave, act according to what we see. But we speak according to vision. We act according to vision. We do everything according to vision because we are dreamers. We are visionaries.
Ron, to me, this section was very wonderful. Joseph had dreamed dreams and had been given visions. Yet to this time, his dream had not been fulfilled. And of course, this is evidenced by the fact that he was still in prison. But his speaking and his behavior were consistent with his dream. And Witness Lee credits this kind of speaking with his eventual release. Help us to see the connection here.
Paul mentions in Acts 26 that he was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. This indicates, doesn't it, that the vision has a kind of governing capacity. It should control us. It should rule us. Joseph, regardless of his circumstances, was ruled himself by the heavenly vision. No matter what he was going through, the vision never left him. This vision, before it was fulfilled in his own experience, cultivated in him the capacity to interpret others' dreams. God used this period of his life in order to train him in the divine and spiritual things. So Joseph did not remain locked in himself when others had dreams. He said to his cellmates, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell the vision to me." So he spoke forth the interpretation of others' dreams, and thereby contributed to the fulfillment of their dreams, even when his own dreams had not yet been fulfilled. Here we see a tremendous principle. That is, we must speak not according to our feelings, neither according to our limited experience, but according to the heavenly vision. We need to speak the divine revelation in the Word of God, and not allow this revelation to be limited by our experience. Rather, we should allow our experience to be expanded through our speaking to match the revelation. Joseph was a dreamer, and Joseph was a speaker. When he had a dream, he talked about it, and by speaking, he got into trouble. But also by speaking, he got himself, so to speak, out of the dungeon. Remember, by speaking, he interpreted the dream of the cupbearer. Eventually, this was used by God to bring him out of prison through his interpreting Pharaoh's dreams. Suppose Joseph was downhearted, feeling sorry for himself. Others had dreams, and he would not do anything to help. Joseph, under the rule of the heavenly vision, got out of himself and took the initiative to speak. That speaking was critical to bring him out of prison, to bring him to the throne, and bring him into the fulfillment of his own dreams. What does this say to us? It says we should not be locked in the silence of unbelief. If we have a vision from God through the Scriptures, we need to speak what we see. If others oppose us and we get into trouble for the sake of the vision, so be it. If the vision brings us into a dungeon, so be it. Eventually, our speaking will bring us out of prison, to the throne, into the fulfillment of our dreams. What we speak means a lot. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, we have the same spirit of faith. Therefore, we also speak. This is precisely what we're doing in this ministry, speaking not according to our feeling and not according to our limited experience, but according to the divine revelation in the Word of God. And we believe that the more we speak, the more this vision will be fulfilled, and the more we will enter into the fulfillment of our dreams in the Spirit.
Ron, thank you. I want to particularly commend this final portion to our listeners. We're going to see some examples of Joseph in our own age. Here's Witness Lee.
Suppose Joseph, after seeing the two dreams, kept himself silent, there would have been no problem. The brothers just hated him to such an extent to sell him, as they say, just because he spoke those two dreams. He spoke, so he got in trouble. Let me tell you, 60 years ago in China, that was the time of 1920, after the Boxer Rebellion. The Lord answered the prayers to so many desperate ones. Watchman Nee was bold to speak out what the Lord showed him. He said, to him it was some kind of dream that he saw throughout the whole town, in every city, there will be local church. That was a dream to him. The dream was fulfilled. 23 years later, in 1948, more than 500 or 600 local churches filling up all the provinces. But listen to this. Before the fulfillment, Watchman suffered a lot. Let me give you a testimony. We came over to Taiwan. Taiwan was a little island, quite primitive, backward. We were there. We spoke according to our vision. We spoke. That caused the trouble. We suffered a lot. A lot of oppositions. What happened? Just in that one local church in Taipei, it has over 23,000 members. But you have to realize, before the fulfillment, we have suffered a lot. We never stopped speaking. The more they tried to stop us from our speaking, the more we spoke. Hallelujah!
Amen.
This was just the first time Joseph spoke himself in trouble. Listen, eventually Joseph spoke himself out of the trouble. And Joseph spoke himself into the fulfillment of the dream. Today the same. Listening to people say, no, brother, you're too much. Do you think you can work out something in America? Coming from China? I said, I don't care from where I came. I have a dream.
Amen.
I have a vision.
Amen.
I have a burden.
Amen.
I like to tell people my dream.
Amen.
You'll see this dream will be fulfilled.
Amen.
I can never keep myself silent because the vision's here. The vision's here.
Ron, this was a tremendous example of faithful servants of God remaining faithful to the end. Both Watchman Nee and Witness Lee are now with the Lord, but their common dream remains. Ron, all of us, as Christ's believers and followers, need to have such a dream, don't we?
If we don't, we perish, according to Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. It is the vision that gives us a divine direction, that discloses to us the connection between our life on earth and the heart's desire of God. You consider so many of the servants of God in the Scriptures. Joseph had a vision. Jacob, his father, had a dream at Bethel. Paul had a heavenly vision. Daniel had visions. Ezekiel had visions. Isaiah had a vision. The Bible ends with a tremendous vision. So we must be captured and conquered by the vision in the Scriptures, and then give ourselves unreservedly to it, to obey it, to be one with it, to live according to it, and to fulfill it. We know from Joseph's experience there will be suffering, there will be trial, there will be testing. We know from Watchman Nee's testimony and from Witness Lee's life experience, there will be hardship, there will be trial, there will be suffering. But these dear brothers who now rest with the Lord join a triumphant train of overcomers who saw the divine dream, the heavenly vision, and were faithful to it unto the end. Today the Lord needs visionaries, those who are willing to see the vision, those who will give themselves to the vision, those who will be governed by the vision, those who will devote their lives to carry out the vision unto the end. If we see this dream and give ourselves to the Lord for the fulfillment of this dream, paying the price for it, being tested and tried for it, and speaking it out all the time, surely when we meet the Lord at the judgment seat, He will say to us, "Well done, good and faithful slave." God needs such visionaries today, those who will see the dream, speak the dream, pay the price to be imprisoned for the dream, and eventually be brought into the fulfillment and reality of the dream for the fulfillment of God's eternal economy. May the Lord bless this word, and may the Sovereign Lord gain a group of visionaries today for His heart's desire.
Ron, thank you for your fellowship today. You have been listening to the Life Study of Genesis with Witness Lee. If you would like more information about this program, then please call 1-888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 888-543-3788. Or write to Living Stream Ministry, Post Office Box 2121,
Anaheim, California, 92814. You can also send us email at radio@lsm.org. For a free download of this program, or to find more information, visit us online at lsm.org. If you've enjoyed what you've heard from this life study of Genesis, then we encourage you to freely distribute this program. It's available in MP3 format. Again, it can be downloaded from lsm.org free of charge.